Voice of America on Tuesday, April 22, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com or text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai accuses President Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF of sponsoring factionalism in the troubled opposition party.
Tensions are rising at Chingwizi holding camp in Mashingo as the cash-strapped government fails to raise more than $9 million needed to compensate villagers displaced by flooding at Tokemkosi.
Zimbabwe Teachers Association members call on the government to empower women educationists at the same rate as their male counterparts.
MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai today accused President Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party of sponsoring factionalism in the troubled opposition party. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Addressing mourners in Harare at the family home of one of the MDC founding members, Frigid Dungwa, popularly known to MDC activists as Mutambu, Tsvangirai said it is clear to him and some in his party that President Mugabe and his party are responsible for the infighting currently rocking the Labour-backed party. Mr. Mugabe told thousands of people who gathered at the National Sports Stadium to mark the country's 34 years of independence last Friday that those in the MDCT advocating for leadership renewal, like expelled Deputy Treasurer Elton Mangoma, could as well form their own party. Tsvangirai said that to him means Mr. Mugabe is sponsoring those who are calling for his ouster. But the spokesperson of those calling for leadership renewal in the MDCT, Jacob Mafume, who was also expelled from the opposition party, said Tsvangirai's statements are far away from the truth. Tsvangirai said he will not lose sleep because of people like Mangoma, who were not there when the MDC was formed in 1999, adding they do not understand the founding values of the opposition party.
And our asthma stakeholders, and our shareholders. Now shareholder and stakeholders, like I say,
But Mafume said, what is important is to build a formidable force that will remove ZANU-PF from power in the next elections, expected in 2018, and not the fact that some people were not there when the party was launched. Meanwhile, ZANU-PF spokesperson Rugare Gumbo distanced his party from the internal squabbles affecting Tsvangirai's MDC party. A report carried by the Mail and Guardian newspaper suggests that Mangoma and his other colleagues calling for leadership change in the MDCT are on the verge of forming a coalition with other opposition parties. The paper said the coalition, that will be called the United Democratic Front, will not include the former prime minister. Turning to the deceased, Tsvangirai said Dungwa Mutambu was a fearless politician who remained strong in the face of opposition. Dungwa Mutambu, who died at the age of 82 yesterday, was one of the founding MDC members, is survived by his wife Constance and 8 children. His remains will be interred at the Warren Hills Cemetery in Harare tomorrow.
Meanwhile, political analyst Mulamuli Nkomo says Tsvangirai should address the issue of leadership renewal in his party instead of accusing his colleagues of being used by ZANU-PF.
There is a West African proverb which says, when a hyena wants to eat its young, it complains that the smell of God. I think Tsvangirai is merely looking for cheap excuses of answering the core questions that were raised in Mangoma's letter and those that are working with Mangoma. They ask critical questions concerning his leadership and his leadership style and vision. So he's merely avoiding answering the critical questions by making flimsy allegations. If you criticize ZANU-PF, ZANU-PF will say you are bought by the British. If you criticize MDCT will say you are bought by ZANU-PF. So that shows the lack of democracy both in ZANU-PF and also in the MDCT. These flimsy accusations don't really hold much value, but they are just a symptom of a leadership that is failing to take responsibility.
Are there any positive lessons that Mr. Tsvangirai can derive from the message that's being portrayed by Mr. Mangoma and his colleagues, instead of him accusing them of being sponsored by ZANU-PF?
I think if you are a responsible and a visionary leader, you should accept some form of criticism. Criticism comes in many forms. It can be positive criticism, can be negative criticism. But his reaction does not show that he is a leader who is able to take views of other people other than himself and his inner cabinet of friends. So Tsvangirai should actually listen and address the issues that are being brought about by Mangoma and this group.
A political analyst Mulamuli Nkomo in Johannesburg, South Africa.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number, 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-00-10334. Once again, 033-00-10334.
Tensions are rising at Chingwezi holding camp in Mashingo as the cash-strapped government fails to raise more than $9 million needed to compensate villagers displaced by flooding at Tokwe Mkosi Dam. The escalating tensions have forced the government to deploy riot police officers and other security details. Two villagers have since been arrested after clashes between villagers who have moved to a permanent settlement at Nuanetsi Range and those currently demanding compensation from the government before they can relocate.
And many homes were submerged underwater and thousands in the Tokwe Mkosi catchment area had to be airlifted by Zimbabwean and Namibian Air Force. More than 3,000 families were affected by the flooding. Property was lost, and that included crops and livestock. Launching an appeal for the victims late last month, Father Peter Chimombe of the Catholic Church described the situation as, quote, people are living in subhuman conditions on the ground at Chingwezi camp, adding the villagers are living like like, quote, refugees in a war situation. Mashingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that there are a few individuals causing friction at the camp.
Currently, we have since explained to every member that whoever tries to interfere with the peaceful existence of any member who has been properly settled will be treated in the same way people who break the law are handled. And two who had tried to intimidate those who took up permanent settlement were arrested, and it has informed others that that behavior is not tolerated, and thereafter we have received any other similar incidents. People now know that people have to live as individuals and to move out of the camp because we have finished pegging their permanent stance. So everyone should move out of the camp. But some were now getting used to the camp life, which we are saying no, because we don't want to lose life out of the outbreak of diseases because of their congestion. So some are now beginning to cooperate and understand that.
We also understand that the government has deployed members of the riot police. Why has the government taken this step?
View that some family members were terrorized by those people who did not want to take up permanent settlement. We have to take extra precaution to make sure that no one is hurt or is interfered with, especially those who would have taken up their stand. So security details just to ensure there is peace.
Mashingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318.
The Zimbabwe Teachers Association, ZIMTA's 33rd Annual National Conference, ended its second day in Harare today, with the union grappling with issues affecting the country's teachers. Some participants want ZIMTA to empower women educationists whom they believe lag behind their male counterparts. The conference, running under the theme Quality Teachers, Quality Tools and Quality Environment, a Must for Public Education, is being attended by 250 delegates. ZIMTA Chief Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu tells Studio 7 that resolutions on the way forward regarding the teachers' plight will be agreed on tomorrow.
The conference is going on, and so far the conference has looked at a lot of internal matters, particularly the issues of governance of the Zimbabwe Teachers Association, and it has also received the executive report, which is detailing the activities and accounting for the resources that were given by the members to the delegates. And so far, the address that is going on has looked at the issues like we are looking at the membership itself, we are looking at the mandates of the organization, how far we have achieved that. And so far, we are looking also at the education for all goals, how far our country has gone, and the issues around the deficits in achieving the education for all goals by 2015.
We understand that some of your members have called for the empowerment of women in ZIMTA.
This is a very powerful debate which is going on as I speak to you right now, with the Women Caucus strongly advocating for a 50%. And this is going to go into discussion, and eventually it is going to propose constitutional amendments where we shall see a 50% representation of women in structures of ZIMTA and in activities of ZIMTA. And that is still work in progress.
That was Zimbabwe Teachers Association Chief Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu in Harare.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe National Students Union is condemning the suspension of Secretary General Makomborere Aruzivishe of the University of Zimbabwe's Student Representative Council by the UZ administration and the banning of ZINASU President Gilbert Mutubuki from entering any University of Zimbabwe premises. The suspension comes as ZINASU's Treasurer General Tamutswa Chikonyora and four others were arrested after demonstrating against the shortage of water at the Great Zimbabwe University. ZINASU says this shows the government is not relenting in its efforts to victimize students following the arrest of 12 protesting students at the Harare Polytechnic earlier this month. A group of 47 Bindura State University students was also arrested and charged for convening a meeting without permission by the police in the same month. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with ZINASU spokesman Avoid Masiraha, who says the organization is now seeking legal advice over the alleged victimization.
The issue that we have is last week we had an election at Mashingo at Great Zimbabwe University. Then we had two guys who were arrested after a demonstration because we believe that our election was rigged, considering the issues that were going on during the election. And also we have Marco Aruzivishe, the Secretary General at UZ, who was suspended about 2 days ago.
Have you sought any legal recourse on this issue?
Yes, on this issue, we've approached our lawyers from Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights so that they can deal with the matter and also so that they can resolve the issue of the election that was held at Great Zimbabwe last week. But on the issue of the suspension of the Secretary General at UZ, we are still to approach the administration so that we can hear from them what are the accusations that they are leveling against the Secretary General. So far, that is what we have done. Considering these issues.
Moving forward as organization, what do you hope to do in regards to some of these issues? As we know, even now, some of your members are on trial for their arrest this year.
Okay, as an organization, we continue to run our business in line with the values that we believe that us as a student organization should be run in terms of just solving the issues of the students. But the problem that we are having is that of victimization by the government. Because, like I was saying, the guys that were arrested in Great Zimbabwe some 2 weeks ago, they were just arrested because they wanted a re-election, since we believe that the election was rigged. So we are going to make sure that we approach our lawyers as usual, and also we embark on demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations for that matter. If the government continues to victimize us regarding our conduct as students, then we will take action.
That was the ZINASU spokesman Avoid Masiraha in Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Zimbabwe last week celebrated 34 years of political independence, but some second Chimurenga liberation fighters say many promises remain unfulfilled, while female ex-combatants allege that compensation for sexual abuse by the so-called chefs during the struggle remains outstanding. Arthur Chigoriwa reports from Chinoy.
The majority of the country's war veterans say that they are wallowing in poverty despite sacrificing their lives to bring majority rule to the country. They aid most of those now enjoying the fruits of independence are the ones who had contributed to the fight for democracy in the country. Bernard Mudzimu, whose Chimurenga name was Abasha, operated in the Urungwe area of Mashonaland and West. He is bitter that the milk and honey remains a pie in the sky for him and most of his colleagues. Mudzimu said the monthly payment of $300, including the $175 war vet compensation and $125 pension from the army, is now too little to cater for his day-to-day survival. Another war vet, Big Boy Mushipe, says although they appreciate the parceling of land by the government to some former freedom fighters, more needs to be done to support new farmers. Mushipe says mostly top politicians and the ministers in the government benefited from the farming equipment scheme through the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe.
Yeah, they should give us implements to use on the farms. We appreciate the farms very much. very, very much. But what we want is getting loans from the banks, because we don't have anything. We can't give collaterals. We don't have collaterals.
The ex-combatants are also not happy that their children do not receive educational grants, adding the ones implemented earlier only covered primary level schooling. Most of us claim they are finding it difficult to pay for secondary and university education for their fees. But many in the country argue they are not alone. Some of us who were fighting under ZAPU accuse their counterparts from ZANU for discrimination, saying those who have largely benefited from state programs come from the Mashonaland regions. But colleagues from ZANU say it is not true, charging the ZAPU ex-combatants are to blame from removing themselves from others.
As far as I know, there's nothing like that. Government, you see, we are all the same. There's no one who's been given money because he was in Spedra, in ZAPU or ZANLE. No, was being given equally. Those ones who say they're being discriminated, they don't think that's fair. It is those people who discriminate themselves, thinking they're being discriminated, which is wrong.
Some female ex-combatants, on the other hand, claim that most of them were sexually abused during the liberation struggle by chefs. They want their former highly placed colleagues now in government to compensate them. They allege this was agreed 1 year back, but charge the government and ZANU-PF have reneged on the promise to help the women deal with their post-traumatic stress disorder. A female ex-combatant who only wanted to be identified as Chemere says most women fighters were abused by their male colleagues who later in life dumped them and married other people. She says most female former fighters have failed to get married because most ordinary people did not understand them or feared their past, hence they remain in the cold.
Most of us were abused by these chiefs during the war of liberation, and we agreed while they were that we will push them for compensation. But after independence, these women in high positions started dragging their feet, saying, "It is disrespectful for our leaders."
So in this province of Mashonaland West, most war veterans have adopted a wait-and-see attitude as they allege their colleagues now in position of power and authority have largely abandoned them. It remains to be seen whether their grievances will one day get attention, especially as the government struggles with imploding economy, unemployment, and the related issues. Reporting from Chinoy, this is Arthur Achigoriwa.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about problems facing villagers at the Chingwizi holding camp in Mashingo.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
This year's edition of the annual Zimbabwe International Trade Fair opened in Bulawayo with an official of the trade fair company expressing confidence of a bigger exhibition than last year. According to fair organizers, China is the largest exhibitor, occupying 1,061 square meters of space, up from last year's 600 square meters of space, followed by South Africa with 800 square meters. Other countries exhibiting include Brazil, Congo-Brazzaville, Egypt, Indonesia, Iran, Kenya, Malawi, Mozambique, Poland, USA, Bangladesh, India, and Nigeria. From today to Friday, only business people are allowed at the fair, and it will open to the public on Friday when President Robert Mugabe is expected to officially open the exhibition. Industry and Commerce Minister Joy Bima tells Studio 7 the government is happy with this year's fair because it is bigger.
Yeah, we are very excited. The number of inquiries were such that it indicated a lot of interest. Last week, almost 90% of the space had been taken, which is a good indicator on the level of participation this year. So we are very much excited that despite the challenges that a lot of industrialists are facing, there's still a very, very much of interest, and which is, I think, it augurs well for the future.
How significant is the trade fair to Zimbabwe?
It's significant in the sense that it is an opportunity for us to showcase Zimbabwe, for our people to showcase what we can do, but also for them to get an opportunity to have an idea of what other people are doing. So I think it's a good opportunity. Like any other country which is involved in trade, we're very much interested in getting other people to come and show us what they can do and what they are doing.
In terms of local companies, how are you working with them as a ministry?
Well, we do encourage them, and the ZITF company makes quite a lot of effort throughout the year to market ZITF, to engage companies, to find out their interests, find out their needs, to find out their concerns, and to map up any issues that they would want to sort out.
That was Mike Bima, Industry and Commerce Minister, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Chris Gande reached Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association spokesman Roderick Fayayo, who says there are no indications that the fair is bigger or better than last year's.
Of companies that are to the trade fair also are not those companies that will think that they will invest tomorrow. They are those friendly companies, but also large, small and medium enterprises. So actually, it is a somber atmosphere.
Yeah, what would you say if you compare the mood, this year's mood, to that one of last year? Do you make any difference out of this?
I think there is a big difference in terms of the not only the expectations of the people, but also the movements around the city of Bulawayo. Last year, you had a number of companies that were hopeful that Zimbabwe would be fine, that they would have policies that will protect other people's companies. And last year, the number of companies that had closed were fewer as compared to this year. So you had a number of people attending. But this time, you have very, very few companies that are operational in Bulawayo, and therefore you have very few people that have money, that might be having money to attend to the trade fair. So you are unlikely to have that high turnout from the residents of Bulawayo in this year's trade fair.
That was Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association spokesman Roderick Fayayo on the phone from Bulawayo with Chris Gande.
In sports news, legendary soccer commentator Dennis Liwewe of Zambia has died. His son Ponga told the news forum Open Zambia that the soccer analyst died at the Levi Mwanawasa Hospital in Lusaka Tuesday morning. Liwewe, known as the voice of Zambian football, is said to have succumbed to liver complications. He was born in neighboring Malawi and began his journalism career by working as a reporter at a newspaper owned by mines in the northern Zambia. He traveled at least 96 times to 42 countries, and many Zimbabweans, Mr. Kandamiri, will, you know, remember him, that our very own Zimbabwean commentators, you know, looked at him as one of their mentors. And who would you say, you know, sounded like Mr. Liwewe in Zimbabwe?
Evans Mambara, many will recall that he sounded just like Liwewe.
And many, like my father, who loved soccer back then in the 1980s, early 1990s, who definitely remember Liwewe, founding Zambian president Kenneth Kaunda, recognized Liwewe's influence on football in the country and awarded him the prestigious Order of the Distinguished Service in 1977. And we have also the latest from London. What do you have in terms of Manchester United?
Manchester United have sacked manager Moyes with immediate effect and replaced him in the interim with Man U legend Ryan Giggs, who takes charge until the end of the season. A statement from the club reads, "The club would like to place on record its thanks for the hard work, honesty and integrity he brought to the role."
Moyes, who turned 51 on Friday, was appointed on the recommendations of fellow Scot Sir Alex Ferguson, who retired at the end of last season after 26 years in the job. Everyone feels sorry for Mr. Moyes. I, one for particular, I feel that the team let him down. He's got so many stars who failed to deliver. But nevertheless, we hear that Netherlands manager Louis van Gaal has been installed as the bookmaker's favorite for the permanent job at Manchester United. So we wait to see what will happen, because this season has really been bad for Manchester United. Unfortunately, Mr. Kanemiri, time is not on our side, so we hand over to Ntunga Milinkomo. This is all that we had.